everybody. Why don't you stand up with us and worship this morning? Morning online.
And all of creation, all of the earth, make straight a highway, a path for the Lord. Jesus is coming soon. Call back the sinner, wake up the saint. Let every nation shout in your fame.
So glad to be back here with you again. If I didn't meet you last time, my name is James. This is my good friend Dave, and we came over from Gig Harbor to help you guys out this week, and so we're really blessed. We're friends with your pastor and with Ryan. He's a longtime friend from California, so it's good to be here just to help out. We're really blessed to do that. And as we were talking in the first service today and just praying over you guys, because we do that, me and my wife pray for you and before we come, and I just got this sense of that the spirit of depression kind of needs to get taken care of, and that's easier said than done, right? And those of that have been in a depression don't even know how they got there, let alone how to get back out of it. But it's so awesome to know that there's someone who does, and his name is Jesus. And if you're struggling this morning, just know that God wants to deliver you. He wants to bring freedom. As it says in Psalms, I believe it's 118, that David cries out to the Lord, "Lord, I'm so desperate." It said he calls out in his desperation to the Lord, and the Lord heard him and brought freedom. And a lot of us are there today. So would you just bow your heart with me this morning, and we're just going to seek him. Holy Spirit, come into this place today. Lord, you are welcome. You've already been here. And Lord, we just pray for a couple of things. One, for our brothers and sisters, maybe here, maybe online, that are struggling. Lord, we need your Spirit with us. Lord, bring joy to my friends. Lord, let that spirit of depression be broken in Jesus' name. Lord, let us sing joy to you this morning. Lord, we want to bring all that we are today. So, Lord, some of us, many of us, cry out in our desperation. And we ask that you bring freedom as you once did.
And you unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again to your family. Your blood flows through my veins. And I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave.
Sing that again.
I am a child of God.
Oh, we declare that.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child.
We pray for freedom in this place today, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, do your work. Let's sing, whoa, church. Let's lift it up. Let's lift it up.
No. Whoa.
We're going to sing.
I can walk right through it. My fear. perfect love. You rescue me so I can stand and sing. I am a child of God.
Lift it up.
Oh, you split the sea so I can walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love. You rescue me so I can stand and sing. I am a child of God.
I am
a child of God. I am a child of God.
As we sing this last song before Pastor comes up, there's some in here that's having a difficult time singing. And I'm just going to encourage you today is that it's a sacrifice of praise. Sing, even though you don't feel like it, it's going to happen for you. There's freedom coming today. I know it.
Sorrow, dead in my sin, lost without hope with no place to begin. Love made a way to let mercy come in when death was arrested and my life began. And ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given a name. My mourning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so washes over me. You have made me new. Now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new. Now life begins with you. Released from my chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt and called me his friend. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so is over me. You have made us new. Now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new. Now life begins with you. Savior displayed on a criminal's cross. Darkness rejoices, oh, heaven had lost.
But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. Oh, your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new, now life begins with you. Join the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free. Forever, amen. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, we're free. Come join the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free. Death was arrested and my life began. When death was arrested and my life began. When death was arrested and my life began. Lord, help remind us of that, that time that we first came in contact with you, how awesome that was. Think about this throughout the rest of this service today. I'm sure you've been told this before, but we're going to say it again, is that those of you that are old enough to have a spouse, maybe a girlfriend or boyfriend, you just remember that feeling that you had. I remember I just couldn't stay off the phone with my wife. I just had to talk to her all the time. And I reminded her how beautiful she was and how awesome she was and how I felt when I was with her. And it was just a love affair. And we've all shared that. And I think the Lord misses out on that, that first contact that we had with him when it was so rich and awesome. And it's just became regular and dull. And let me tell you, it doesn't have to. Just like marriage, right? It doesn't have to. So let's go before the Lord throughout the rest of this service and beyond with that initial reaction of, God, I'm so glad to be in your presence. Thank you for the work that you've done for redeeming me. And Lord, we do pray that. Lord, throughout the rest of this day, we just honor you. We just want you to be lifted up in our worship. Lord, we want to know you in the word that our pastor speaks today. Lord, we want to be changed to be more like your son. We love you, God. Amen. You can have a seat. And while you're doing that, go ahead and take a look at the video.
Being. You knit me together in my mother's womb.
I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
Thank you.
your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be.
Hi, church family. Online, too. My name is Marcia Hellman. I've been attending, Jeff. I've been attending First Baptist with my husband, Matt, since this past summer. And I'm currently the client services director. The client services manager. Let's get the title right. And basically acting director, since we don't have one, at CareNet here in Mason County in Shelton. It's been a part of Mason County for 35 years now, in some form or another, and a lot of you have been so generous with your time, your talent, your treasures. You have a lot of history with them yourself. It's really encouraging to see such a supportive community. I am so privileged to be able to work there. For those of you who don't know what we do, we are a nonprofit, Christ-centered pregnancy resource center that provides confidential and compassionate support for men and women facing difficult pregnancy decisions. All of our services are absolutely free because of people like you, and what we offer is amazing. We offer life-affirming ultrasounds, pregnancy tests, STD testing, diapers, wipes, formula, baby equipment, all absolutely free. Pre-COVID, we had parenting classes and all that that encompasses. We hope to do that again in the near future. But most importantly, we try to connect Jesus, the people that, to Jesus, everybody who walks through our door. Regardless of what their pregnancy decision ends up being, we want to show Jesus' love. We want it known that we love everyone that comes through our doors. I'm here today because we are acknowledging Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. On January 13th, 1984, President Ronald Reagan issued a proclamation designating January 22nd as the first National Sanctity of Human Life Day. And that was because on January 22nd, 1973, 48 years ago now, the U.S. Supreme Court legalized abortion on demand in all 50 states. Churches around the United States use the day or the Sunday nearest to celebrate God's gift of life, commemorate the many lives lost to abortion, and commit themselves to protecting human life at every stage. Human life made in God's image. We are all so precious to Him, no matter what race or gender, from the very youngest, the unborn, to the very oldest. If you're so compelled, we are taking donations at the front of the church in a large baby bottle. We also have baby bottles to give away if you're organization or where you work is willing to display that. If you can collect funds from coworkers, that would be great. I've got a newsletter up there. One of the easiest ways to give, though, is through our website, sheltoncarenet.org, our donation page. We receive no money from CareNet National. We do have a real need right now for boys and girls sleepers, sizes 18 months to 2T, and size 4 diapers, which we actually already got some in between services from one of you, so thank you. And one last request. We were so blessed this last week to receive money for some badly needed exterior signs for our building, but we do need a licensed contractor to obtain a permit and install the sign, so if anybody knows somebody, please see me. Call the center, however you can get a hold of me. I'm going to be out at the front after the service. Thank you so very much. Matt and myself really look forward to getting to know a lot of you, the rest of our church family.
Before we let you go, we're going to pray for Marcia. This is we're pretty excited on staff here because seeing Marcia come in already in just a couple of months that you've stepped in, we're getting these flavors of what's going on through this ministry even now in this season, and it's amazing the testimonies of some of what's happening in this ministry. And this is frontline. This is frontline stuff for Marcia, for her staff, and all the volunteers that are up there. And so we just want to see this succeed, and we just want to see this blessed. So would you join me and bow your hearts, and let's lift this up before the Lord. Father, thank you for the gift of life that you have given us and the sanctity of that in this ministry and the promotion of extending help to multiple situations where there's crisis. And God, I ask that you would just put protection around this ministry, put that around Marcia and her family, the volunteers in the ministry up there. Just protect them and guard them. The enemy does not want to see this ministry succeed, but he's got gates, not us. We get to chase him in Jesus' name, and he has to submit. So we just ask that you would put that kind of protection over this ministry, over Marcia, and over the staff in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Give her another. Pray for her.
She will be down. Marcia's going to be down after service right there by the welcoming desk. So go visit, pick up a baby bottle and fill it, put diapers, whatever they need. Go help them out. One other announcement, then we'll get going. We're gonna trim back a little bit on our live streams. We've been blessed. I've talked to lots of different people in different churches, as you have, some of them pastors, and I actually have a buddy, our old elder John Long, who works with a whole network of different pastors, and the level of discouragement out there, the number of churches that aren't even open right now. And we are blessed, FBC. We're open, and the gospel's getting put out every week. Ministry is happening. It feels dry docked in many ways, but it's still happening. And I'm so blessed by that. But the live stream feeds that we've been doing are a pretty complicated matrix to get out every week twice live. And so we're going to trim it back. We're going to go to one live feed starting February 7th. And it's going to be the first service will continue to be live. Second service, we're going to pull it. We're going to decomplicate that a little bit. We've had a lot of energy put into that, and we're just going to try to calm that down a little bit. So that's coming for you. So, amen. Well, hi, how are you? Hey, did you hear about that pastor that's leaving FBC? Anybody hear about that? Yeah. If you haven't heard by now, Lisa and I were on this platform last week, and we announced our resignation from my position as pastor in this church, and we feel called and led to do that. And, you know, last week as we were up here, I'm looking around the room, and I'm seeing all your faces, and I'm just like, I just wish there was time to sit and have had that conversation one-on-one with you, as opposed to what it was last week. There's just not time for that, but in my heart, I was aching for that, and I still ache for it, and thank you for your grace. We weren't able to do that, regrettably. But so as we come this morning, maybe, we're pushing pause on James. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about godly decision making. It's been predominant in our hearts, obviously. But maybe we can just imagine that we're sitting in your living room, having a cup of coffee, and laughing at some of the stories and the good times we've had, and praising God for his grace during those seasons that have been hard. I mean, we've done life together. We've done life together. I was just thinking, my youngest is sitting over there. He was born just a few months before I came on staff, 23 plus years ago. And we've raised families next to each other, right? We've done the good times, the weddings and the celebrations that are part of being a family, and we've gone through the hard times, the memorials, and we've stuck that out when God's grace, we're still standing and thriving. And so we've just done life. And so today, let's get that image of your living room and just sitting around and having a conversation. And I hope that this will come together for you, and you'll see God's movement in it. But before we go, let's bow our hearts one more time and ask Him to help me communicate. Father, thank you for the grace that you give us to live life each and every day. Lord, your mercies are new every morning, and we need them. And so we are here this morning making that declaration with our hearts. God, we need you. We need your mercies. We need your life, and we need your love. And I pray, God, especially for those hearts that are hurting this morning and hearts that are trying to mine out decisions before you. May there be encouragement, clarifying pieces that come from you, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. So my goal today is to talk about godly decision-making. I'm going to sprinkle some of our process, our last few months in here with it. But I've really been asking God, Lord, would you raise to the surface this idea of how do you make godly choices? I mean, it's one of those things that you and I are constantly met with, right? What is God's will in fill in the blank? This situation, that situation, who should I marry? Where should I work? Where do I go to school? Do we move this direction or do we move that direction? We want to hear God's will, you know, even when we think Idaho's the promised land. Is it God really for us? Are we supposed to go there? I'm not going to Idaho. I'm just saying that's a bit of a thing out there right now. Mining out what direction God wants to take us. It's important that we can talk about that, and I trust that that'll help all of us. And I want to start this morning by putting it out there that I think sometimes in decision-making, I think we can over-spiritualize it. I think we can over-complicate it, like trying to grab a hold of the right recipe, right? Like we're trying to get the balance and the mix right, and it can kind of become like a spiritual, those magic eight balls where you shake it up and you look down, it's like, well, that didn't work, and you do it again. And the risk if we do it that way, hey, we don't use magic eight balls because we're Christians, but we tend to kind of get paralyzed in making a decision if we're not careful. We can overcomplicate it and fail to pull the trigger when God's calling us to go a certain direction. So my goal this morning is not to bring you a recipe. I'm not going to talk about a formula this morning in how you make godly decisions. In fact, what I hope to do is sort of underpin what we should be doing whether we're making decisions or not in our Christian walk. It's kind of the everyday pieces of mining out God that I think if we're doing those things, inform our direction and inform the decisions that we need to make. So they are important, but it's not recipe, it's not formula. So that's my goal. And so you're going to be blown away at how in-depth and, oh, I've never heard that, my points are this morning. I'll start with the first one. Here it is. Live for God. Come on, write it. Take your notes. Live for God. How do you make a godly decision? You live for God. You pray. You be in relationship with Him. Read the Word of God. Obey it. Consider others more important than you are. Walk in His holiness. Live life, but you live it for God. You live life, you move forward, but you live it for God. You move forward with God. And we know that it's going to be walked out imperfectly. We know that. We get that. We're messy. But it should incentivize us to quickly come back and dial it in when we come off the tracks a little bit. Get back into relationship with God. Get back into living for God when we mess it up. Live for God. In fact, it's kind of at one level so simple and yet hard. There's a verse that I want to pull out to just prove it to you. Like just live for God. Live for God, and it's Proverbs 3:6, and here's what it says. In all your ways, acknowledge him, or live for God. Say it with me. Live for God. And if we acknowledge him in all of our ways, he will make our paths straight. No formula. Well, there's your formula. How do you live for God? You just follow him. How do you make a decision? You just follow him. And if you're following him, and if you're focused on him, even if you start to veer off, he'll over here. Isn't that insightful? Just live for God. Just follow him. That's your formula. Be dependent on God. Now, dependency ebbs and flows, doesn't it? James was talking as he was leading about that moment when he first met his wife, and it made me go, oh, I just remember. I remember that dependency, that love, that tightness that we had. But what we know, if we've been married, that ebbs and flows too, doesn't it? It comes in and out of season. I'll give you an example, like where I really amp up my dependency with God every time I come up on this platform. That week, I kind of take it to a different place in my dependency with God, if that makes sense. Like I have my routine when I'm not up here. I'm going through my relationship with God every week, but when I'm up here, it's a little more leaning into him. Because I want him to tell me what I don't want to come up here without him. You get what I'm saying? I need him. There's a level of accountability to be up here teaching. And I take that very seriously. Any pastor that's following God does take that seriously. So the dependency increases. I remember 23 years ago, we were trying to make the decision if we were to come into full-time ministry or not. And at the beginning, it wasn't even full-time. It was just part-time. But we spent hours. It was a very beautiful, sweet season of dependency on God. We would hold hands. We would walk out behind our old place at Lake Limerick. We spent hours back there talking and praying and just trying to say, God, are you in this? Are you in this? The dependency intensified. And it was a beautiful season. And I think that's what it's been this last few months as we've been trying to mine out this decision about moving on. It's been another beautiful season of just dependency on God. So it does ebb and flow. But when you're making a decision, God, what is your will in whatever? Lean in. Grow in that dependency. Seek him out. Our decision, I believe, came through living for Christ, being under the authority of the Word of God. And that is the way it should be for all of us in decision-making. Be obedient. Pray. Hear the Word of God. Hear good Bible teaching. Live your life. And as you do that, God begins to confirm. He begins to steer. He begins to deposit seeds. He begins to give you clarification. And when it's time, he will deposit faith into your life so that you can move forward. And you don't need to have it all mapped out. You just live for God and allow him to begin to formulate that direction in your life. And I praise God that's something that he's done for us. In fact, I think God is doing that for all of us. If 2020 has done anything in the bride and the new year coming in, I kind of feel like one of the things our sovereign Lord is doing is putting every one of us face to face with this question: are you living for God? Are you living for God? All that's gone on, and the pressure points of it, the loss of this, the loss of that, what's happening around our country is putting the question right in front of our face, is it not? Am I living for God? It's not perfect. It's not without mess. It does require recalibration. But are you living for God? And I've had to readjust my heart from time to time. Anybody else in this room have to do that this past year? I'm watching you laugh, brother. Yeah, man. We've had to redial it in. Living for God is about going forward in Him regardless of what that heart's doing. Recalibrate it if you need to. Have you been face-to-face with that question? If you are, you're coming back quickly. If you are, when you get messy, you come home. If you are, then you're able to take that jammed-up anxiety and stress spun tight as a drum, and you put it at the foot of the cross. And you lay it there, and you move on with the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. How many of you know you can have joy in the middle of chaos? Not happiness necessarily, but joy, absolutely. We've been faced with that question this past year. And if we haven't been living for God, then we don't got a place to deposit that stuff. We don't have that anxiety outlet, that stress outlet. And we're searching for stuff that will never work for you. You might be getting some happiness, but it will break or it will fail you, whatever it is. And if you haven't been living for God, if you look at that question this past year and you see it, then stop. Choose to live for God. Come back onto track, repent, and move on. Live for God. It's so vitally important when you think about making decisions, godly decisions. And let me give you a flavor from James 4 as to what I'm talking about. We all know this verse. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we're going to go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will. If it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. You see the difference? Do you hear the warning in there that says, hey, I know what's around that corner. You don't. You check it out with me. Do you hear the perspective on who's in charge in James 4? There's so much there. Do you hear God wooing you to, I want to bless you. Check in with me. Live for God. Decisions are important, but don't overcomplicate it. Just live the life and move on forward. That's my first point. Live for God. It's deep. Here's the next one. It's deep too. Let the Lord be the Lord. Let the Lord be Lord. You remember in Matthew 28, right before Jesus' ascension back up to the throne, he gives the great commission, and in that dialogue with his disciples, he says these words. He says, All authority has been given to me. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus says. And I've been thinking a lot about the authority of God when it comes to making a decision. And here's, let me try to unpack that a little bit. If you ever ride in a car with me, and maybe some of you have, then you know, yeah, Johnny, you have, I know, you're over there laughing, you know I'm doing 5 to 10 over, right? I have discernment, and I know those signs are just suggestions, and I'm doing 5 to 10 over just the way it rolls. If we're going to Ole, it's 5 to 10 over. I know, that's how I do it. And you may even look nervous in the car. I might see you gripping the thing, like in front of you, the dashboard, and I might slow down a little bit on the corners, but I'm doing 5 to 10 over. Unless I see that car coming up in my rearview mirror. You know the car? It's the one that Sperling's driving. It's the one with exempt plates. It's the one with the badge on the door. If I see that car coming up behind me, or if I see that car up on that corner, yeah, put your badge away, bro. If I see that coming up on me, guess what I'm doing? I'm slowing down. What is the difference between you riding with me and that badge? Authority. I'm slowing down because of authority. When Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, what do you suppose the Christian response to that needs to be? 5 to 10 over? Or yes, sir? Total authority requires complete surrender. Total authority of God requires that we run the white flag up the pole and say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we mine that out with our decision making. I'm not saying it's not without mess. It is. But it incentivizes us again to dial back into his authority when we come away from that. You know, I think the life we all say that we really want in our guts, like I want that life. I want it. It kind of gets stuck here. And this is what I mean. I think as much as we say we want it, we know that the condition of this heart is repelling it. The condition of our sin nature is like, wait a minute. I'll give you some. But all? And that's what leads us, and I'm sure you've done this along with me, where we've given some, and then we make a decision, and off we go, and it blows up, and then we go, where were you? Where were you, God? Our heart wants to mediate the terms of our surrender. That's our sin nature, right? It's what our sin nature does, is it kind of pushes back a little bit. We'll say, hey, I'll give you this, but I'm going to keep this. I'll give you this much, but that my sexuality is mine. I'll give you this over here, but that job that I want, I'm taking it. I'll give you this, but I'm going to treat my family, my peers, my coworkers, how I want. Yeah, you can have that, but my free time. You see what I'm saying? Our hearts does that. Our hearts do that, and it's constantly pushing back against God's total authority. And here's the thing. God's not in the business of meeting us halfway, is he? But you know what he'll do? He'll let you have your decision. He'll let you have it. And then when it doesn't work out, right? Give him the authority he deserves. I think our flesh, our sin nature is okay with saying, he's my savior. He's my Savior. You hear the "my Savior" in that? And I think our hearts push back on saying, "And he's my Lord, and I completely surrender." So you got to deal with that. You've got to be able to negotiate that. Godly decisions are made through the understanding of who's in control, who's in authority. And it's the foundation necessary to open that up beforehand and to say, here it is, if you want to do that thing. Lord, here, I give it to you. I thought a lot about it. Live your life for God. Let him be Lord. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths what? Straight. He will guide you. He will direct you. He knows what's around that corner, and he wants to bless you. Third point. I know you've never heard this one before. Seek godly counsel. Yeah, you've heard it before. Seek godly counsel. There's just not time to tell you about all the pieces that have come together in this decision that Lisa and I have been mining out for the last few months. I've described it like getting on a water slide. You know, at those big theme parks, those big water slides, you get on it and it's like, pew, off you go. It's like you can't find the brakes, you can't slow down, and you hope you survive because you're going so fast. It kind of has felt like that ever since we started this process. It feels like we got on this water slide, it took off, and I'm like, at first we were like, Lord, please, brakes, if this isn't from you. Slow us down if this isn't from you. And from the beginning, we have just felt that it wasn't supposed to slow down. In fact, confirmation after confirmation after confirmation, I've lost count. She's got them in her world. I've got them in mine. They're in our world together. I've just lost count. Let me give you one that I'm talking about. 23 years ago, when I first came on staff at this church, I was going to be here for about 4 months. This was a step to another gig. At the time I was leaving DOC, I had a half-time practice doing counseling, and I was going to come here to provide a little bit of counseling relief and then go on. And within 2 months, God hooked my heart and said, You're called. And again, off we go to trying to mine out that decision, and it was confirmed. But for about a year, I kind of kept my counseling stuff because I thought, I can always go back to it. And a year in, God said, time to burn those bridges. So I let my licenses lapse. I threw away all my files. And in one of those files was documentation for about 3,600 hours that were required. 3,600, well, the state requires 3,000 postgraduate hours. I had about 3,600 hours documented in a file that I had not yet turned over to the Department of Health to check that box. And so early on in this process, I'm like, and by, like, there's no way. Do the math on 3,000 hours. You know how long it would take me to get that? And so we've kind of had this attitude, just a real quick spur road. We've kind of said, whether we're talking about this new career, excuse me, or houses, or this move, we've kind of had the attitude, it's going to be a miracle if it happens, and we're going to be blessed if it doesn't. Just kind of holding it loosely before him. So I made a call to my now 73-year-old supervisor, who just happens to still be living in Olympia, who didn't change her phone number, who's still counseling with her license and in good standing with the state. And within about an hour, she got all those hours, and then she submitted them in to the Department of Health, box checked. And I'm going, this isn't slowing down. Over and over and over, it just kind of picked up speed. Proverbs 13:10 says, Well, I'll get to that. I just jumped ahead of myself. Let me slow it back down. Godly decisions are made through seeking good counsel. And so what happened about the time that we felt that things were really starting to take off is we started talking to people. We started asking people that we trust, hey, this is what we're thinking about. This is what we sense God is doing. Would you pray? Would you tell us what you think? People that we really felt called to talk to. And so we just pursued Proverbs 13:10, one of my favorite verses. It says, through presumption comes nothing but strife, but for those who seek counsel, there's wisdom. So we just started going after that. And eventually that circle got bigger and bigger, and we brought the pastors into it. We brought the elders into it. And so that we went down that road. And it was a beautiful season of just hearing confirmation. So I think it's really wise to include that. It's not recipe stuff, but it is a godly principle. Seek after godly counsel, but make sure that the counsel that you're pursuing is living for God and they have themselves under God's authority. And just as a real quick, I think, check engine light on the church this past year, we've seen it in culture, but I think it's dripping into the church a little bit, is the idea of how easy it is to come to team. Like I can, you can get a preference going in whatever, whether we're talking politics or theology or what is our response to this dynamic, the medical dynamics of all that's gone on. We can draw together some preferences. We can pull scripture. We can get the Christian podcast and the Christian talk radio to support us, and we can pull people in. And I'm not saying that's always bad. I'm not saying that, but be careful. This is what I mean. Do you remember in Exodus 5? Moses is gone. God has taken the mantle off of Moses and he placed it on Joshua. Joshua. Joshua is God's man. And so Joshua steps out and he leads the nation across the river, God's people. And he brings them right up on the real estate of Jericho, and they're encamped there. And do you remember, the story? They're ready to go, waiting to go in there and put the smack down on Jericho. And then Joshua sees what he thinks is a dude, with a sword out off in the distance. And he approaches this guy, it's really an angel. And he says to him, do you remember? He says, Whose side are you on? Are you on our side? Like, I'm Joshua. I'm God's man. I got the mantle. Here's his people. We just plunged over the Jordan. Now we're going in. Are you with us or are you with our enemies? Do you remember what the angel said to him? Neither. Neither. I have come as the commander of the Lord's army. I'm on Team Jesus. Sword is out. I'm waiting for instructions. Hope it goes well for you. Neither. Those are the people that you want to seek counsel from. Team Jesus. Under authority, living for God, and hear what they have to say. And there are so many of you that I see as that. And again, we just didn't have time to talk to all of you. It would have been awesome. I know there would have been good things to hear from you. Listen to what God is saying to you as you go through. And with consistency for us, we heard a very similar line. God is going to bless this. He's going to be with you. And we just heard a consistency. And also be open to how God wants to say it to you. Let me give you a quick one, very quick spur road. There was one in my support group, one in my crew, that I love her. Man, she is, I love this gal. She loves me. We got each other's back, and I wanted her to pray because she is radical about prayer. But I didn't necessarily want to hear anything from her because, she just doesn't go to my church. She goes to a different church. Like, I'm not going to wave the flag in worship. like they do in their church. I'm not going to utter that sound and hope of interpret. I just don't go to that church. And so I said, here's what we are doing. Please pray, because I wanted her prayers. And so off I go, and she's praying. And then 2 weeks later, she called me, and she said, I think I have a word from the Lord for you. And in my day, I've had a few words from the Lord from cray-cray. And so in my house, I'm not saying she's cray-cray. I've just had that happen. You know what I'm saying? So in my heart, as she's saying those words, I'm like backpedaling a little bit, going, oh, no. Looking for a desk to hide under maybe a little bit. And then she started to say, I think this is what God is saying to you. She said, he's saying that you've been faithful. Okay. Well, it hasn't been perfect. It's been messy. But yeah, I think that's, yeah. And then she said, God is pleased with you. Who doesn't want to hear that, right? And then she said, I feel like he wants to say to you, if you do this, he is with you and he will bless you. And I was like, okay. And I got off the phone with her after saying, thank you so much, and got off the phone with her. Have you ever had this experience where you're reading through the Word of God, or you're listening to a sermon, or you're in some kind of a prayer situation, and you hear something that you know? Like the word comes alive, the word written to everybody, all of God's kids, but the word comes alive for you. Like God just goes, that's for you, daughter. Or you're listening to a sermon and God just goes, that is for you, son. That is from your father to you. And you just go, wow. You ever have that experience? So, I hang up the phone with this person, and God goes, that's for you. And the number of times that that has occurred through this process has just been like, wow. So yes, seek after godly counsel. Look for those that are really following the Lord and under authority and get their counsel, but also be open to where God is going. That's for you. Be open. Proverbs 19:20 says, listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. Oh, it's good. God wants to bring that to us. And I got one more. Let me do this. I know I'm running a little bit thin on time. Number four, you've been following God. You got that dialed in. You're under his authority. You've got this held very loosely with him. You've gotten counsel. Now it's time to move. So the fourth point is trust God. Trust that it's going to work out for your good. Trust God. You don't know how it's all going to unfold. You don't know exactly what's around the corner, but if you've gone through following God, he does. Step out and go with the confidence that God will work it out for your good, even though it might get rough. That's Romans 8:28, is it not? Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes everything to work for the, what does it say? The good. The good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Go. Move out. Go with the confidence of knowing that whatever comes, God is going to work it out for your good. Notice it doesn't say your happiness. It didn't say that. I want it to be my happiness. But that's not what it says. The Greek word for good is the idea of growth in virtue and value for the kingdom. Almost always, where does that happen? Through difficulty. Through struggle. And when struggle comes, know that God is going to work it out for your virtue, for your value to the kingdom. He won't waste any of your pain if you will let him. Go. When Lisa and I responded to the call, we were walking and talking and praying and doing all that we knew to do to try to dial in this answer. In all transparency, she got there before I did. Lord, do I come on full-time ministry? Do I go right into counseling? Me, I'm kind of like going back and forth. I want to go into counseling. You hear the struggle with who's in charge there? And it was Lisa that heard from the Lord, and then she came and she said to me these words, and she said, if God is calling you to ministry, then you have no business saying no. That was from me to you, boy. Listen. And we did. And I thank God that we did, because when it got hard, and it did, I wanted to run. I don't know how many times I came home and I said, pack your bags, we're out. Not only out of the church, we're leaving this town. We're out of here. And she said to me, I lost count. You're not released. You're not released. So we stayed. And then it got really hard for both of us. Then we were both in the starting blocks wanting to get out of here. Let's go. And God set us up. We had my 90-year-old father who just came to live with us, and we couldn't move him again. So again, we had to stay. And like Lisa told you up here last week, first service she said it in tears. Now I'm doing it. I'm so glad we did. I'm so glad we stayed. I can't even imagine what it would have been like if we would have left. Oh, the loss we would have had. Every ounce of it God used for our good. Every ounce of it developed virtue and value in our lives. And one of the ways that I know that is because you've told me. You've told me. You've come to me and you've said, man, we are so blessed to have seen the growth in your life over the course of your ministry. And I get it. I get it. You and I had that conversation, but a little perspective, man, there's 200 families in this church. I've had it a few more times than you've had, and that's all good, but I lost count at about 70, 75, maybe 100. I kind of lost count, but you have come and you have said, and I get it. I'm a pastor. I'm visible. I'm in front of you, and you've seen it, and I would say it this way. I maybe have been, Lisa and I, how God has worked this out in our lives, I have been maybe a visible example of what we all should be doing. Right? Every one of us, every single one of us, God will work it out for your good. And he will develop in you value for the kingdom, virtue for the kingdom, as you hang in there with him and you move through the difficulty that he allows in your life. Lisa and I are moving on. We're not gone yet. We're going to be leaving at the end of May. We feel confirmed in the call. But I want you to know that we hold it very loosely. I want you to know that we go with clarity that geography is not going to define our happiness. That a career switch is not going to define our happiness. What defines our happiness is being in obedience to Christ. And so we are going to move out, and we're going to go forward. And we've got time to say goodbye. There's lots of things that I look forward to bring closure to this. But right here, right now, while I've got your attention, and if you're listening at home, I want to tell you what a privilege it has been to be one of your pastors. What an honor it has been to serve in this church. And I want you to know I've watched you. I've watched you. Love you. I've seen your pain. I've seen your struggle. I know you've wanted to quit. You didn't. You hung in there. You've made the Lord the Lord. You've come under his authority. Has it been perfect? No, it's been messy. Welcome to the club. But you've done it. You've sought after godly counsel. I've watched you, and I am so proud of you. I am so proud of you. Keep doing it. Keep fighting. Live for God. Walk in the joy of being submitted to his authority. Look for counsel. And when he calls you to whatever, you go. Go knowing that God has called you so that when it gets hard, you stay dialed in. You'll flop around a little bit or a lot, but hang in there. You pray. Father, thank you for the honor and the privilege that it has been to be a part of this church family. I am blessed. Lisa and I are blessed. And I believe there's been blessing for the church family as well. This has been a gift from you. And I thank you, Father, that you have clarified our calling and our decision as we go forward. And God, I want to pray for everybody in this room. I especially pray, Father, for those who have that question, am I following you? A little jacked up right now in their heart. Father, I pray that you would touch that heart, whoever it is, and that you would deepen the sense of urgency to say yes to Jesus, to walk towards you, to bring that worry, bring that anxiety, bring all that junk and lay it down at your feet. And Father, I pray for anybody who needs to make that decision to do that with you right here, right now. For some, Lord, maybe there's a need to repent. We have tried to mediate our surrender. We've tried to negotiate with you, and it's gotten us nowhere. So, Father, I pray that if there's a need for repentance, that that could happen. You are the Lord. All authority given to you. And I pray, Father, that as the difficulty comes, that we would be so anchored into you that we could have joy and security, outlet for worry and anxiety in the midst of chaos. God, give us that kind of power in our walk, especially as we go forward. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love you guys. This is not goodbye, but I love you.
great the chasm then lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Oh, hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh God, you are my living hope.
our hope, Jesus. Lord, you are our only source of hope. Help us to rest in that this week. Help us to walk in your promises. We love you. Give us strength, Father. Lord, strengthen the saints, not only in this church, but in this community, Lord, that we can bring hope of Christ to those that are around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed. If you're online, thank you for joining us. Be blessed as well. Have a great day. Have a great week.